The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Pastor Perry Noble challenges us to overcome the barriers that hold us back from living an unleashed life.
Why is your church growing? I'm like, I made a 790 on my SAT. I have no idea. And somebody always asks, was that verbal or math? I'm like, no, that's the whole thing, 790. So if God can use me, God can use anybody.
Breaking free from normalcy, next.
To be with you. You're a joy. Thank you. And you join us. We normally tape on Tuesday nights in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And you can go to lifetoday.org and find out how you could get tickets. They don't cost you anything. It'll be a wonderful evening together. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. We've got a pastor that's written a book. Whenever I asked him if this was him jumping, and he said it absolutely was not. They had to hire someone to do that. But here's a neat thing. Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, wrote the foreword. Our pastor, Robert Morris, thinks that this pastor is something, who wrote this book. His name is Perry Noble, and he has written a book titled Unleash and Breaking Free from Normalcy. And I'm real curious to know what he's talking about, and since I've heard a little bit about it, I'm really anxious for you to meet him. Now, he pastors in Anderson, South Carolina. I held a crusade there years ago. It was one of the most God-blessed crusades I've ever been in. I'd love to hear from some of you if you can remember it. You might want to tell Perry if you remember it. I hope some of you who found the Lord there are leaders in his church. It's New Spring Church. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
It is only 12 years old.
Yes, sir. We're about 12 years old.
And doing well.
Yes, sir. We've got about 7 campuses now across the state, and had a service a few weeks ago where about 1,500 people gave their lives to Christ. It was an unbelievable weekend.
Well, you've got a church that's about the same age as Gateway, where I go. And
yes,
you
sir.
Know, you and Robert met, and he really did. He really liked you, and you said you liked our pastor.
I love Robert Morris. I preach his sermons every week.
Well, they're worth preaching.
Absolutely. They really are great.
I want you to tell our viewers about your own journey and then how you got into, let's say, the ministry after you found Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then I want us to really talk about some of the issues that you touch on in this book, because it's really good.
Well, the joke is, when I was a kid, I had a drug problem. My mother drugged me to church every time the doors were open. It didn't matter if there was a rumor, because today we call it ADHD. They didn't diagnose that back then. It was just I was a boy, and so she figured church would do me some good, and so she was always taking me to church. So ever since I can remember, I was going. My mom took me to church. My dad was he would follow the Lord backslide, but my mom had me in church, and that was great until she was about 12 years. Until I was about 12 years old, and when I was 12 years old, she was diagnosed with cancer. 3 months later, she passed away. She went on to be with the Lord. And at that point, I got bitter. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with church, because we had prayed for God to heal my mom, and God didn't do what I asked him to do, so obviously he wasn't worth following in my 12-year-old mind. And I went on a path of rebellion over the next several years, and got about as far away from God as you could. And I knew all the right answers. If you would have said, are you going to heaven when you die or whatever, I would have said, well, yeah, because I prayed a prayer when I was 5. I had no idea what the prayer was, but I prayed it because the preacher, who was huge, told me to pray the prayer, and I started crying. And they said, the Spirit's on him. I was like, no, I'm scared. You're huge. And so I prayed the prayer. So anyway, in my senior year in high school, and things in my life had completely fallen apart by then, and you know, there was a guy that sat in front of me in English class, and he kept inviting me to church, and I was like, I don't want to go to your church. And he was like, you need to come to church. And I was like, I don't want to go. And he's like, there are hot girls at church. And I was like, what time are we going? Hey, whatever gets them in the door, right? So I went, and there were some hot girls there, but it's the first time I'd ever really heard a preacher preach the gospel. I was like, do y'all do this every week? Because, can I come back here next week? I mean, I didn't know if I needed a ticket or what, because I'd never been to anything like that. Like, every church I'd ever been in was boring. And this was awesome. And so I went back and, you know, over a period of time realized I was a sinner separated from God. I needed Jesus in my life, surrendered my life to Christ. Next thing I know, it was in a Baptist church. And so I asked them, what do I need to do now? And the next week was Vacation Bible School week. And they said, well, you need to volunteer for Vacation Bible School. And so I was like, amen, I'm in. And so they put me in a sixth grade class, and the last day of the class, the teacher told me, tomorrow's Perry's going to give his testimony. I didn't even know what a testimony was, and I shared my testimony. There were seven kids in the class, and three of them gave their lives to Christ, and I was like, I think I might have a future in this. I don't know. And so went to college and studied to be, went to college, majored in communications, went to Anderson College, now Anderson University in the upstate of Anderson, South Carolina, and worked in a couple churches, and in fall of 1999, we planted New Spring Church with about 15 people in a living room, and here we are today, 12 years later, and nobody's more amazed at this whole thing than me. I'm evidence that the Bible is true, because the Bible says God will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and I tell everybody, they say, why is your church growing? I'm like, I made a 790 on my SAT. I have no idea. And somebody always asks, was that verbal or math? I'm like, no, that's the whole thing, 790. So if God can use me, God can use anybody.
And he is. Now, here you are, a writer.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you didn't know you could write, did you?
I had no idea.
I want you to tell us, because when you get into this, I look at, you know, one of the very first chapters, chapter 2, is early chapter, the performance trap. What are you talking about? What is the performance trap?
Well, I think the basic premise behind the book is most of us as followers of Christ, we trust Jesus with our salvation, but we don't trust him with our life. There's a big difference, because we're not saying, dear God, I want to go to heaven. We're saying, I want to trust my life. And I think we really become free when we trust him with our life. And the whole chapter, the performance trap was, and something we were talking about earlier, I learned more about the love of God when I had my little girl, Karis, and she's 5 years old now. She's brilliant like her mother. She's beautiful like her mother. And thank God she's like her mother. But I realized that right before she was born, I went through this entire thing as a dad. I was, you know, it's my first child. And I was really worried about how I was going to love her, you know, because we knew we were having a girl. And I was like, I was real nervous because I didn't know. And so she was born by C-section. And I remember the doctor holding her up, and I went, that's it. That's how I love her. I just saw her. She's mine. I don't love her because of anything she's done. I love her. I don't love her because of her performance. I love her because of her position as my little girl. And I think many times as Christians, we get into, well, I've got to perform for God. I got to try to impress God. And what in the world could we do to impress the God that spoke the world into existence? We're like, look at me, God. I wear a certain type of clothes. And he's like, I made the Grand Canyon with my pinky. So, like, you want to compare notes? Because I think you're going to lose this one. So that whole thing of we don't have to perform to get God to love us. He loves us because we're his children. And that brought about so much freedom in my life personally, because I think sometimes as Christians we get caught up in, I've got to do certain things to get God to love me. And if we do that, we never feel good enough. We never feel adequate. We never feel accepted. We never feel completely loved. So that's what that chapter is all about. There's a lot of Kara stories in there, because I've learned about the love of God through me loving my little girl.
Isn't that the key to that freedom that you were talking about, and that relationship with God, is accepting God's love?
Absolutely.
For us? It's unconditional.
Well,
he doesn't run out. You know,
it was one of those things I never understood until that God's love isn't achieved, it's received.
That's right.
And that was a game changer for me.
You have another chapter that you call Moving Past Your Past. What are you talking about?
So I start out that chapter with a pretty embarrassing story. I was in the sixth grade, and I was a large sixth grader. And so we all left to go to lunch, and I played football in sixth grade. And we had burritos for lunch. And right after we had lunch, we had our burritos, we had P.E. And so we went to P.E. class, and there was a girl, one of the prettiest girls in school. Her name was Tara Ann. I never will forget it. And she stood right beside me, and we were going to do our fitness test that day, and you had to go number off 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Well, I was number one. She was number two. And so the first thing in the fitness test was sit-ups. And so she was going to hold my feet. And I was going to impress her with my ability to do sit-ups. And so the PE teacher, you know, blew the whistle, and here I go. I'm 1, 2, and on the third sit-up, I parted her hair. It was the most I cried. I quit. I would have dropped out of school that day. I went home and told my dad, I was like, I cannot go back to school. I have ruined Tara Ann's life. And here's what's funny. I never forgot that. So the next year we go to middle school, every time I saw her, I wouldn't make eye contact with her. In the high school, I would see her in the halls in high school, and I couldn't look at James. I promise you, at our 10-year high school reunion.
Oh, no.
Our 10-year high school reunion, I'm standing talking to a bunch of people. Somebody comes up, taps me on the shoulder, turn around. She looks at me. She said, I bet you don't know who I am. I said, I have never forgotten you. And I use it to kind of illustrate the point that sometimes we make some really bad mistakes in our past, and we never get past them. Yeah. It's those things we allow what defeated us to define us, and we kind of stay trapped in the prison of our past. And I did, man, because before I came to Christ, I did some things I'm not proud of. Yeah. And the enemy loves to bring up your past. He gets historical on you, and he loves to say, hey, you know, you did this or you did. I'll tell you. My father passed away, and I was driving around in my hometown where I grew up, and I drove by the house. I never will forget this. I drove by the house where, as a very young guy, I lost my virginity. And right when I drove by that house, I saw it, and the enemy started whispering to me, saying, "What if your church knew about that? And what if your friends knew about that? What if your wife knew about that? What if your little girl?" And I'm telling you, for a moment, I was gripped by fear and insecurity and worry. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord speak to me and say, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That God knew about that event, and He loves me, and He forgives me, and He accepts me, and He's chosen to use me for His glory. And so it's just one of those things where I'm like, you know what? It's one of those battles we're always going to face, the battle with the past, the battle with the mistakes. But the thing I've learned is if you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. And you don't have to live where you used to live. We cannot embrace our future until we embrace that everything in our past paid for, forgiven, redeemed, and we need to move on because God has.
I think you can see why Perry would have a church that's 12 years old and have, you know, 15 or 20,000 people coming. And by the way, to you in Anderson, South Carolina, like I said, over 30 years ago, you made an impression on me when I was in the stadium there, and I loved you. And I saw a future, I hope, for so many of you, and I hope you'll even communicate perhaps some with Perry. But what I really heard coming from this wonderful young pastor is the great truth that if you are trapped and held captive by the past, and really we were able to laugh along with him, which makes you understand why people can enjoy listening to him. But then you took us to the reality of the pain of the past. And, you know, really, Perry, a lot of people are caught by the pain of their failures right now, even as Christians.
Yes, sir.
You know, you could look back and say that happened as a Christian. I failed. And, you know, one of the things you've heard our Pastor Robert say that I know impacted you is it has the people at Gateway and that people have heard Betty and me talk about. As Christians, we miss the mark.
Absolutely.
We fail. And, I mean, the Bible is filled with people who knew God and they failed. So the issue is not when it happened or exactly what condition you were in or what your relationship with God was. It was something that really it was wrong. But he died for the wrong, Jesus. He paid for it. He took your shame. He took the blame. And he took it so he could lift that load off of you. He took the load of it. However intentional or unintentional the issue was, you don't need to be stuck there. You don't need to be held captive by it.
That's right.
And that's really the message that Perry's communicating to the people he preaches to, but also in the book, how you can unleash and live. Be unleashed. Be free. This is what God wants for us. So wherever you are, I mean, right now, please understand that I know you smiled. You laughed along with him. But then when he talked about something, I know your mind tracked too. And you may feel like I'm stuck in something very recent or something way back. But let him lift you. Love lifted me. Mm-hmm. From sinking sand, he lifted me. From a horrible past, he lifts us. Would you let him? Right where you are, would you ask him? Jesus, you were lifted up. You died for me. You were raised to live in me. I receive you as Savior, as Lord, as Redeemer, as my friend. I hope even as I was saying that you were somehow in harmony, in heart harmony, saying it and receiving the Lord. Mm. You may want to call that number and say, I just prayed that prayer. Mm. So glad to send you a book. I wrote to help you know God as Father. It's titled, Knowing God as Father. Gives you some simple Bible studies. We want to be a blessing to you. This book that Perry wrote, it's in the bookstores. Do you have a website if people want to see what's going on at the church? What is it?
Yes, the book website is unleashbook.com, and our church website is newspring.cc.
And you know, you may want to visit them sometime. You may not have a church home, or you may want to check the website. Would you like to just say thanks to Perry for sharing so openly? We're actually going to have him back and tell us some more stories. I'm kind of interested in some of the things that happened to Mr. Perry, aren't you? And we'll be listening. But I want to show you something. And I know, Perry, you've told Betty and me that you watch our program and you like it.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate that fact. And I know one of the reasons you have to like it is because you love what love does. And that's what we're going to see. I want you to listen very closely to prayers of people you may recognize, like Beth Moore or some of the Pretorius family or some of our own grandchildren praying, and people you may not know. But I want you to notice what they're praying about, because you are the answer to the prayer. Watch and listen.
Perform a miracle in this child, God. Please stop its suffering, Jesus.
Lord, I just ask you to let the food we give him be a nourishment to his body.
Father, I just pray that you just take this child in your arms, in your loving arms. And that, Father, we need a miracle for this child.
He needs your help, Father. He needs a supernatural touch from you, Lord Jesus.
bring a child back to life. Father, I ask you to work a miracle in the hearts of people who are watching us right now to keep babies alive.
You are the God who heals, and you are the God who provides. Somebody say.
God, help us to stop this Holocaust in our day that could be dealt with by fighting disease and starvation and hunger. I am merely giving. God, touch the hearts of people in Jesus' name.
Yes, you can, God. And so many times, if not most of the time, you're the miracle. You're the miracle answered prayer, Betty. I watched those graves, and well, I know it was my voice.
Nine graves right here in front of
me. And you know they're being dug for little bodies. The children of people who don't have the things that we take for granted and the things we have that, oh, we think are entertaining or fun and to make life pleasant, and nothing wrong with any of it. God gave us the creative energy and expertise to develop so many things. But for the truly poor, that's the only joy most of them have, a little child, a little family, and then they're gone. And we've got a miracle prayer we want to answer, Betty. I want those children to have food. We can feed them.
We sure can. And James and I have been there. We've seen the small little graves like you just saw. We've seen where the mothers are weeping over those graves because their baby didn't get help in time. We want to make sure that the babies that are struggling now to survive just for the next breath, we want to get there in time. And you can be a part of that miracle that we're asking you to share with the lives of these children. Please join with us, and let's reach out and offer a miracle to them of food.
And you know we come to you twice a year, and we ask you to help us feed children for an extended period of time. And $30, $50, $100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. That means what you give today, if you'll take your bank card and call the number, or go to lifetoday.org and go ahead and make the gift online. You can do it. We get it immediately. It'd be great if you do that. You write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're sending. But I want you to keep this in mind now, because you see, we're talking about praying for a miracle. Well, we got another miracle answer, and you need to hear this. This just happened. We just got an offer of $3.8 million in food in a grant. Now, see, we got hundreds of thousands of children that we're trying to raise the funds for to feed. They're in the centers. What we just heard is if we can come up with another $640,000, and we got to keep raising the money for all these children that the missionaries have got in place. I mean, we're not near there yet. That's why the 30, 50, or 100 to feed 3, 5, or 10 is so important. But what you need to understand now is we're going to keep focusing on that, but we got a chance. If we can just get a $640,000 add-on, it's going to be multiplied 6 times in its effect, $3.8 million. That means $1,000 right now can have a $6,000 impact, $100, a $600 impact. So would you please today, Father, I pray everybody, okay, this is God, this is an answer to prayer. I'm going to be an answer to prayer. Lord, I pray everybody to say that. That's I'm asking God to move on you. And then you be the answer to that prayer. You be the miracle. Please go to the phone. If you were to get a busy, say, I'm getting through. I'm going to be an answer to the prayer. I'm going to help. And make the largest gift you can. If any way you can give $1,000 or more, let it be multiplied to 6 or 100 and go to 600. Do it. We have some gifts we're sending you to bless you. We always want to bless you. I'm asking you, please, let's see the miracles together. Thank you so much for making the very best gift you can. And know it will be multiplied and it will make an impact.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Today, you can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. And now we have a miracle opportunity. A $3.8 million food grant has been offered to us for our mission and relief efforts. All we have to do is guarantee we can deliver the food at a cost of $640,000. This means your gift today can now have six times the impact. $30 to help feed three children can have a $180 impact. $50 for five children can have a $300 impact. And $100 to help feed 10 children can have a $600 impact for feeding. With your gift, you can receive James Robison's newest book, God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, which today can have a $6,000 impact. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I'm really excited about sending you this little book. By the way, a great Christmas gift. I mean, you could go online and order several copies. If you know somebody in the family, and I know a lot of you, you don't love kids and people, you love pets, and you observe what God's made. These are lessons God's let me learn from our little dachshund, our little princess. Now, we may have to bring her up here and let everybody meet her. I mean, she's going to love you absolutely to death. She's a German dog, but a French kisser, and she will kiss you. And I want you to know this, we're going to send it to say thank you for any gift. You get copies of it, and you get it to everybody you know for Christmas that loves pets or animals. And Perry Noble's book, Unleash, it's in the bookstores, and I hope you look him up and go by and visit their church there in South Carolina. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to Perry. He's going to be back. He'll be back for another program with us. Perry, thank you a lot, buddy.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a miracle, an answer to prayer.
I don't work all my life to go pretend like I'm homeless for a week. I mean, I don't go camp. I don't.
Pastor Perry Noble, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.